It's time to get in the ring and start running the ropes.
What hurts most are my feelings. Eric, you cussed at me.
Step inside as the guys talk about all the happenings going on within the WWE.
I am the best wrestler in the world.
TNA.
I know your stuff, Wayne.
EY.
Wayne,
EY.
Your name.
EY.
Okay, look. This is for Fred's life.
Oh. Ring of Honor.
Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing?
In the NorCal independent scene.
Fan-friggin-tastic. We're back here again.
Oh, you're back.
And now live from the RTR studio in the San Francisco Bay Area.
What are you watering?
Hot.
It's Running the Ropes right here on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
Lots of what?
Hot. I'm not getting rid of it.
Are you kidding? That shit's great for my glaucoma.
All right, welcome to Running the Ropes exclusively on the Unchained Wrestling Network. Brian Maverick Burchan here with you once again. Alongside me, of course, this week, Chris Kelly from HeadlocksToHeadlines.com. And Chris, I'm excited. I've been such on a huge wave of excitement and just awesomeness because this last interview with Rima Fakih, Miss USA 2010, has broken every record to date, bigger than Kerry Silken, bigger than Chris Masters, bigger than BG James, and you know, and I love them so much, and I'm still humble that they came on our show. But Miss Rima Fakih, my God, broke all the records.
Well, yeah, and I mean, we got on USA Today. I mean.
Yeah, we got a freaking USA Today. That's huge.
And the thing is, like, literally, just before we started shooting this show, I was just reading that what she told us last week is true. She's actually in talks with WWE to do a TV show on the network.
Boom, and who broke it first? That's right. Right here, running the ropes. Oh, yeah, baby. That's us.
On the forefront of breaking news we are now.
Suck it.
But yeah, man, it's been a crazy week. I mean, like, I know for a fact that Rima Fakih actually listened back to the interview. She told me that she had like 3 hours to kill at the airport. So she thought, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go back and listen to the interview.
I'm gonna listen to that nice guy Brian talk to me because hey, he's a nice guy, and I am a nice guy.
And Rima said that it was her favorite interview that she's done. It's a nice and professional. You know what? Anytime she wants to come on, she is more than welcome.
Yeah, hey. I'm very happy that she said that. Because I would love to have her back. I would love to have her back on and let us know more news. I want to get more exclusive news. And, you know, I got an email from Dez. And he loved the fact that Rima Fakih came on. And I'll tell you what. And I'll be honest. I forgot that she was coming on. I was prepared to ask questions, but pull the curtain back. I forgot. But I forget. Yeah. I forget very easily. And having her come on and giving us a good 45 minutes to an hour, just shows that that I could make an interview drop of a hat almost. I'm on a good track. So, and when we sent out the stuff for it to like all the news websites and all that, I never expected to get on USA Today. Even though it was Miss USA, former Miss USA, I never expected that to get on USA Today twice, not once, but twice on two different websites. So that just goes That just goes to show how much this show has evolved.
Chris. I mean, we got coverage on PW Insider, ProWrestling.net, big wrestling news site, and then you say we go and smash it on on USA Today, that's pretty damn big in my opinion. But like I said, Mima is a fantastic person, and she is more than welcome anytime on this show to come back and talk about whatever you want. I mean, she could talk about WWE, Miss USA, whatever you want, to be honest.
If we ever get on TMZ for that kind of stuff, I want Harvey Levin to come on the show and tell me. I really do. I would record it, and I would.
You know, make a clip. You know that TMZ only talks about wrestling in a bad light.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But still, like a big entertainment one, like a positive one, like Entertainment Tonight. You know what I mean? But yeah, I want to thank the fans for sticking with us. If you've listened to Running the Ropes back on Wild Talk Radio, back on KJCC, or back on SNS, I thank you guys for sticking it and to really show that he's got something. He's just, you know, getting up. If he goes down, he gets back up and, you know, does what he can. And that's what I love about it. That's my favorite thing about doing this kind of thing, doing this. And it's a hobby. It's fun. And that's what makes it worthwhile. Stuff like this is what makes it worthwhile. And I would love to have people like Rima Fakih, including Rima Fakih, of course, back on the show. I'd love to get Shelly Martinez back on the show someday. Shelly, Rima, hey, everyone, Isis, Chris, Carrie, all you guys, door is always open. If you want to come on and just, you know, bitch moan, if you want to come on Running the Ropes, hey, at RTR Maverick, no K at the end, just M-A-V-E-R-I-C, RTR Maverick on Twitter, let me know. I would get you on. I'll get you. I would set aside whatever format we don't have to get you on the show. I really would.
We have no format. I mean, for example, right now I'm going to talk about WWE 12. In fact, I still don't have it. Because here in England, it's not out until Friday. I'm upset.
It's on the top of my game queue for Gamefly.
Yeah.
I'm going to send back Assassin's Creed Revelations because I beat it yesterday. Epic ending. But I will definitely get WWE 12 in my hands.
I mean, I was going to play it at Eurogamer, and it was fantastic. And literally, I'm here biting at the bit because it was shipped out on Sunday, so it should be here today.
Didn't you pre-order it?
Yeah, but it's out here in England on Friday. So,
that sucks for you guys.
It does. And usually it gets here the day beforehand. So if I get a text, Chris is home, I might mysteriously get ill from work and get ill and come home. I mean, that happened when I got, like, every year in England, it comes out on Friday. And every year on the same day I get ill and go home.
Exactly.
So
that's what I would do. I did that with Gears of War 3.
I mean, I literally cannot wait to go and do it 12. Buy the DLC and have Michael Cole job to everyone on the board. I'm gonna make Michael Cole world champion. Well, Michael Cole's gonna hold all the belts.
And then make JR win the belt.
I'm gonna make Michael Cole and Jim Ross tag champions.
Oh, jeez.
That's my plan.
That's your plan all along.
Yep. And Michael Cole will end the Undertaker Chicken Mania.
I love how they made that storyline in the last game. Like, I never played SmackDown vs. Raw 2010, but I got 2011, and just the way how bad that turned out to be. Like, you get to choose three or four superstars, including your created guy, and it, like, no one says your guy's name. Like, your voice is in there, but no one says the name. No one says, no one makes reference to you in the game. It's funny as hell.
It's like Triple H, I will take you out, and your friend, we will also take him out. At least on this year's game, you actually have a name, like, because you can customize the character's look, but you can't change his name on WrestleMania, because it has a default name, because it, of course, it's Austin Aries doing it. So at least on this year's game, you're actually going to have your character called out by name, not that guy, the other guy that attacked me from behind.
Yeah, the only, and what's funny was that in the last one, the only guy that would say your name would be the ring announcer. That's it. Because you're coming out as your created guy, or John Morrison, R-Truth, or whatever. Never understood it myself. But okay. I like it. I can't wait to play it. And I'm glad that it's finally out, and we have a chance to experience it. So, there you go. Anyway, moving on. WWE Raw happened. And
so, shouldn't we talk about first Survivor Series, because that happened first?
That's true. We should talk about Survivor Series first. Survivor Series happened.
You know what? Whenever they go to Madison Square Garden, to me, they should always have that hard camera that's looking down the tiny entrance ramp. To me, that always makes Madison Square Garden look cool.
It does. I'm not used to it really does.
I'm not used to having the big entrance. It looks weird. It needs to be the small one.
Well,
but
that's kind of what I liked about it. Like, when WWF and WCW came out to the Cow Palace back in San Francisco, back in, like, God, I want to say the mid to late 90s, and earlier than that, like in the 80s and all that, they made the Cow Palace seem humongous. And there's pictures of it inside the wall there of Hulk Hogan beating on Abdullah the Butcher or Kamala or someone. It looks really cool. But you go inside the building, it's freaking small. It is the smallest building that could hold anything, let alone a wrestling ring. It's really small compared to, like, HP Pavilion and all that, so.
But, I mean, like, I've had so many cool memories of Madison Square Garden, where, like, they had the hard camera looking down the middle. I mean, when Undertaker returned, when John Cena returned. To me, it has to look like that.
You mean looking from the top of the ramp to the ring?
No, yeah. Where it's looking straight down the entrance ramp.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. They always did that. For years they've done that. For decades they've done that. Mm. Actually, for a decade they've done that. Like, when they had the old Raw set, the old industrial-looking one, they would do that for, like, Stone Cold or someone. Like, some of the bigger stars. Which is really cool. But I agree. Anyway, let's go ahead and get started. I can't find my results here for some reason. But, oh, here they are.
Now I'll go.
Go ahead.
Well, we started off the show with JoMo on his farewell tour versus Dolph Ziggler. And the funny thing about this match was the crowd going, "We want Ryder. Woo, woo, woo."
Yeah, I saw that. Didn't he have a petition or something, too? And that ended up getting scratched because, I guess, for some reason, JoMo deserves one more pay-per-view match.
Before he goes to TNA and all that good stuff?
Yeah, really. It's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy how over he actually was.
Yeah, but then we still get to see him after the match, which Dolph Ziggler did win or retain the U.S. title. But yeah, it's like, it didn't, for some reason, it didn't seem like, it seemed like WWE would rather ignore what the fans wanted, because I know there was a petition. I know thousands of people signed it. So what? Those thousands of signatures or people that signed it online don't matter?
Yeah, it kind of, in my opinion, is a slap in the face.
It really is.
Of Ryder. Like, you're over. Well done. But John Morrison's on his farewell tour. So we need to give him one more match.
Yeah, we need to give this guy one more pay-per-view match, and then totally, we'll get you on a title run, we'll get you anything you want, we'll even put you up against the guy you wanted to face, Dolph Ziggler, for the U.S. title. But for now, we're going to put you on the back burner because we don't care about the fans right now.
I mean, to be fair, it was a fantastic match. I mean,
yeah, it was a decent match, but it wasn't, I mean, things like that just threw them off. Everyone said, we want Ryder. I could imagine how bad the wrestlers must feel because it's that unfair thing.
I think apart from the Rock match, the Rock scene and that lot, every match, we want Ryder, clap, 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 clap.
Yeah, and, but what was funny about it was that it wasn't a bad pay-per-view.
No, it wasn't. The thing with New York City fans is they are pretty smarky.
Nowadays, yeah.
I mean, but I give Zack Ryder full credit. Zack Ryder, when he ran out, he probably got the second biggest pop of the night next to The Rock. He was that over with the crowd.
He did, and what's funny about it is that he's, and I never expected him to get this over with the crowd. Not until he did the YouTube thing. So
yeah, he was on the cusp of getting fired, and he's now over with the crowd. He's possibly going to be the next US champion. I mean, unless they decide to give it to Mason Ryan, which I hope they don't.
You're still on that?
I am. I'm still on that like a madman.
Easy, Macho Man.
Oh, yeah. No, but, yeah, I mean,
Hogan
has earned
my
it.
Job. Feel it. Feel the madness.
Yeah, that might have earned it. I mean, what had Mason Ryan done? Mason Ryan just looked like they claimed Batista. So... Ryder's got over.
Batista with a toupee. But yeah,
and a very
Irish
accent.
Either way, this match was great, I think, considering that the crowd drowned them out and booed both of them out of the building. Until Dolph Ziggler came in later. The Rock, what I loved about this pay-per-view was The Rock's promo just after this match. It was long, but it was good. So,
yeah.
I mean, it really shows that The Rock has not lost a damn thing. And we're going to see that later on in the show, wrestling his match. And it was really good. So
next up was Eve Torres versus Beth Phoenix. Now, a lot of people don't like Eve Torres. But Eve took a fantastic bump.
I don't know what you're talking about. I like Eve, but not for her wrestling. Giggity.
But I mean, that glam slam from the top rope, I thought she was dead. I mean, that bump she took was just like...
She's probably knocked unconscious for a bit. Because that did look nasty. That looked
really
nasty.
I mean, her face, she ate the mat.
She took a mouthful of mat. Wait. Hold on here. Let me try that again. She took a mouthful of canvas. There you go.
And I mean, fair play to her. Fair play to Beth. It was a great match. But as usual, the crowd did not care. The crowd does not care about the matches, which is a shame because the girls work as hard as the guys, right?
They so do. Why... But see, the thing with that is that if they brought in Karma or Awesome Kong to wrestle, but of course she had her thing. But the fans, I think nowadays, especially in New York City, they're expecting a real competition with the Divas and more like how they used to do it with the women's title back in the day. But Trish Stratus kind of ruined it for everyone, to be honest. And it's just not how it used to be. It's unfortunate because some people were saying it last week on the comments board that, they're not how do I phrase this? They're not focused on the competition of the Divas because the Divas are Barbie dolls. The Divas are too sexualized, too, even for a a show like WWE. You know what I mean? And I can agree with that.
It's more about their sex appeal than their talent.
Exactly. Exactly. And it for some messed up reason, it overshadows it. It overshadows. Hmm. And Damien _ Team Bring It said on the board, "Where's all the fucking passion if the organization treats you like a joke?" And and it's great, and that's why a lot of the actual female wrestlers are turning to TNA first in order to get that big break in WWE, which really shouldn't be the case, because WWE used to bring in a lot of female talent.
I find it funny that on Survivor Series, Cole said that Beth Phoenix and Natalya had been running riot since making the Divas of Doom. They haven't. Beth Phoenix and Natalya, in terms of booking, have done nothing since becoming the Diva of Doom. They've been scared by Alicia Fox. They're not that menacing anymore.
Right.
But
I'm sure there's like a legitimate reason outside of the kayfabe factor, because I think I've heard rumors of people saying that she's not safe in the ring, if you can understand that. Because you got to be safe in the ring in order to pull out a good match. So
who's not safe?
Alicia Fox. That they don't feel safe around Alicia Fox in the ring. But I could be wrong. Like I said, these are only like really faint rumors. So
Well, next up, we did a Rock promo. I talk about pretty damn good promo. The crowd were into it. And he basically said that tonight him and Tina are going to go kick the Orton Trip's ass. Next up, Team Barrett versus Team Orton. Now, in this, the biggest news story probably is the injury to Sin Cara. He suffered an injury, let me quickly put up, it is a ruptured patellar tendon.
Ugh.
And it'd be out for 6 to 9 months. The question is this the end of Sin Cara in WWE?
I wouldn't say so. I'd say he'd be out for a bit, but I don't think it'll be the end. Only because of the fact... Well, kinda. It would kinda be good. It would kinda be bad. But see, with the way WWE handles it, they know he's been botchy as of late. But I think now that he has a flow, and now that he has something going for himself, a good gimmick to work with, I think he'll come back, but he'll still be on very rough waters.
Plus the fact, wouldn't WWE get sued if they fire a guy while he's injured? I don't think they can legally pass
a win. It's not the first time they fired someone during an injury.
Well, okay, Matt Hardy was injured.
Yeah, and he got fired. But then again, Matt Hardy's been sniffing them Quaaludes and Whippets and nasty drugs like that. So,
and getting drunk in rehab.
Yeah, and getting drunk in rehab. So, that's something else. But they fired wrestlers before while they were injured.
True that. So the winner of the match was Wade Barrett and Cody Rhodes, the Soul Survivors. Cody Rhodes is looking like $1 million. I loved it how over he was with the crowd.
Wasn't Trevor Murdoch fired from WWE while injured?
Who was?
Trevor Murdoch.
I don't know.
Either he was injured for a while and then came back and said, "We got nothing for you. We gotta let you go." Probably. And that's what I think happened. But hey,
next up,
I don't know. Anyway, go ahead.
Next up, we have the Big Show versus Mark Henry. This match, I mean, I just don't like two big men wrestling. And this is what it was. This match was just a slugfest. And it was just kind of boring to watch.
Yeah. That's true. Well,
and
the thing with big man matches, though, is that every move they do, even if it was a snapmare takedown or drop to hold, it's going to be a big move. It's unfortunate. I'm glad they reinforced it this time. But I don't know. I just think that I think that WWE should do as much as they can, but gotta remember, that's almost a ton of people in a ton of men in the ring. So
I think the funniest thing,
think about yourself for a sec, you know.
The funniest thing had to be Big Show doing a top rope elbow drop.
Oh yes.
Shade of Randy Savage.
That did he get hang awesome. Time though? That's the thing. Were the ropes able to hold him?
They were. God damn. But the win of the match.
Why end the match for Big Show via disqualification?
To make him look a big heel.
Why?
Set up a defending match, but then it did have. Stupid. It then did have Big Show take out Mark Henry for a bit.
Yeah, but still, Mark Henry's still the world champion. You know, why not end it clean? Why not give him that clean ending that we all want?
To set up for a match in the future.
Better be for WrestleMania.
It's funny, when you get to watch SmackDown for about 5 minutes, the ROH fans will be loving it.
Yes.
And then they'll cry slowly into the cereal. But
because Bison Smith died.
Which no. Sucks.
Anyway, go ahead.
That wasn't the joke.
No, I know.
Next up we have Alberto Del Rio. This is CM Punk. Now this match was good. Good long match. But is it me, or ever since Del Rio has won the belt, have they made him look like a weak person?
They make him look like a pansy. They really did.
I mean, they should have booked him strong. I mean, ever since he won the world title, he's been hiding behind Rodriguez, which I get. But then a few weeks ago, he lost clean to Big Show.
Yeah. And I it's funny because he goes on about destiny this, destiny that. It's my destiny. I come out in these big cars. Because he's my destiny, man. But, yeah, they like ever since he won that stupid belt, he's just become a total pansy. And I don't understand
pretty much.
That.
So CM Punk once again wins the belt and becomes, what, a 3-time, 4-time, 5-time world champion?
I think a 4-time now.
Next up, we have The Awesome Truth versus Rock and John Cena. Now, what I love is the fact that Booker T, at the start of the match, called the ending. He said that Cena would get the hot tag and that The Rock would get the win. That happened. Just like that. Cena got the hot tag, Rock comes in, and I think he pinned The Miz?
Dear
no, he...
Booker T, I know you love your job. I marked out for Black Snow back in WCW. But please, for the love of God, stop spoiling endings! !!
You're yeah, so only the winner is a Rock and Cena now.
You do that.
For me, they should have had The Awesome Truth go over, because it made no sense to have them get along perfectly.
See, now I would have loved this if Awesome Truth did go over. I think not only would that have become a much bigger storyline for Rock and Cena, because, of course, one of them's going to blame the other, and you made me lose, no, you made me lose, no, you made me lose, and WrestleMania. But it just seems like they're overhyping it. And remember, the last time The Rock was in WWE was back at WrestleMania 20. He lost a tag match when he tagged with Mick Foley for the last time against Evolution. But
yep.
Evolution members Randy Orton and Batista. Let's get that, you know, precise.
No, because it was a CO2 match.
Oh right, it was but Orton, Batista, and
Flair probably.
And yeah, Ric Flair. So yeah, anyway. It's so I think they're just overhyping it, if anything. And I think that with everything going on, they it's cool that they won, but I still would have liked to see them break down and to really like focus, end up focusing on each other after the match and beating each other to the back.
But I think, to be fair, and this kind of links to Raw, we found out why R-Truth and Miz are lost. I think the whole R-Truth getting suspended is why they lost.
It's true.
R-Truth got.
R-Truth got. And now yeah, little Jimmy's everywhere are just laughing about it.
They are safe for 30 days, right?
Yeah. Little Jimmy's don't have to worry about anything like that anymore. But
so I mean,
yeah.
Next up is time for a bit of Raw.
Show started with CM Punk. I'm not going to do music because we have an interview coming up in a bit. So yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to get through it. So yeah, it starts up with Punk saying that he's the best in the world at what he does. He says that he wants to get rid of John Laurinaitis as Raw GM. And he said that the fans want to see Zack Ryder get in the ring with Dolph Ziggler and CM Punk versus Del Rio.
I'll tell you what the fans want. I can tell you right now because I know it. The fans want to see WWE go back to the way of when Jack Tunney was the on-air president of the WWE when he really wasn't on TV all that much. The fans want that. The fans really want that. I'm just saying.
What we need is to get rid of John Laurinaitis, bring in Mick Foley. Get rid of Michael Cole.
Oh, yeah. Bring in Mick Foley, because when he was commissioner, that was when WWE was on a big high back then. They were having Mick Foley as commissioner, especially when WWF No Mercy came out in the N64. That was an amazing time for that company. Way good
yeah,
at
I
that
mean,
time.
I mean, to be fair, I thought that was the plan. I thought that was the plan the whole time to bring back Mick Foley SDM, but no, apparently not. And John Laurinaitis sounds like he's eating a bag of marbles. I am John Laurinaitis.
I'm John Laurinaitis. And I like to text people while I'm on the entrance ramp in front of thousands of people, disrupting my product, even though we're going right to commercial. But still, I hated funny. That. After, I mean, CM Punk comes out talking about John Laurinaitis and all that, goes right up to his face. I loved this promo, by the way, because Laurinaitis comes out, tries to prove that he has a wild side. And please, you're a white guy. You're a white guy in a suit. Come on.
The worst thing that he'd ever done was stand in his hand for a bit and then pissed himself. That's the worst thing that he'd ever done. But next up, we have Zack Ryder versus Del Rio. Next up, Del Rio wins his match by the cross arm breaker. The crowd were upset. Good match. But Del Rio, I really do think that Ryder could be a main event guy. And I know I sound crazy.
I think he could be a good wrestler. Not a main event guy.
He could. I mean, you don't have to have all the, like, you don't need to have a million moves to be a main event talent, John Cena. And he's over with the fans. So he could be.
That's true, but I personally wouldn't put him on a world title scale just yet. Only because of his gimmick. If they really outdid his gimmick, then maybe. But at the moment, I don't think so. It's unfortunate.
Next up, we have Sheamus versus Jack Swagger. The winner of the match by the bro kick. Sheamus.
Good match.
It was a pretty decent match.
I think it was a good match. I enjoyed it.
Wow. Next up, we had Kevin Nash. Kevin Nash talked about the Click and Scott Hall, which I was quite surprised.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm thinking, with Scott Hall, with WWE paying him so much, you know how I would try and solve his addiction to drinks? I would literally just bring him on the road. Because he can't drink if he's on the road.
That's true. Give him a reason to not drink. Give him a reason to stay out on the road. Give him a shorter... Put him on a full-time schedule, but still give him, like, I guess, an earlier schedule to be on the road, to be at one place at a time. And I think you can get him off it. I think it's a good idea.
I think the reason that he drinks is because he's depressed and bored, right?
Yeah.
If he's on the road, he can't drink.
Exactly. So, there you go. I think that would be a good idea.
Next up, we have Santino Marella.
Before we get to that, can I say something about the Kevin Nash thing?
Go for it.
Real quick. I absolutely loved how Kevin Nash carried himself in this promo. I think this was by far his best serious promo in his entire career. To be honest.
Nash is like a fine wine. He gets better with age.
Right. Although this particular wine kind of fades the brown out after a while. But yeah, like, just the way he carried his voice along with the end, along at the end of the game, of the promo, it was very, very well done. Especially when he declared himself the real survivor, I'm the last man standing, and he walked out, and it was just really, really good. So, there you go. That's what I believe.
Cool. So, next up, we have Cody Rhodes, who just destroys Santino. After the match, Cody Rhodes decided that he didn't like Booker T and throws water in the face of Booker T, setting up their feud.
I like it.
I mean, Booker T, I think, could be pretty damn interesting with Cody Rhodes.
And the best part about it, he could still go. He's not hurt. He's not too old to get back in the ring and wrestle a few matches. Booker T could get back in the ring. He has not lost a damn thing. Very good health.
And then he can do the spinaboony.
Yes.
Next up, we have CM Punk versus Dolph Ziggler. Good match. CM Punk wins with a go to sleep. But to me, it does show that Dolph Ziggler is once again ready to be a world champion.
It shows me that Ziggler... I agree with you. Ziggler is ready to be a champion again. But at the same time, it shows... This match really showed Dolph Ziggler's talent. I think because it took him it took CM Punk a while to get the GTS on him. And GTS don't slip. So I think it was really good.
Then we had a promo for the return of Kane. Masked Kane is returning. I think is fantastic.
Loved it. I that promo was really good to bring him back. Although the punch did look rather fake.
Dude, it's a monster punch in glass. next up we have Kofi Kingston versus Wade Barrett of the Neck. Of the core, Nexus. Wade Barrett wins.
Still on that losing streak. Oh, horrible.
Wade Barrett now has the Barrett Barrage.
Barrage.
then next up, we have John Cena. He talked about last night's Survivor Series and how him and The Rock look together. This brings out the awesome truth. And this makes little sense then, but it makes sense now. They split up Awesome Truth.
Yeah,
Cena goes, you know what, Miz? That guy there is carrying your coattails. Truth, that guy there thinks you're egotistical. Then they broke up.
I love how it took John Cena himself to break up Awesome Truth. Either one fan or, you know, someone else could really see that coming. I saw it coming a mile away. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, I I think we knew as soon as they broke up that R-Truth was going to get suspended.
Are you kidding? I knew when they formed. I knew one of them was going to get suspended for something, and most likely it was going to be R-Truth, and look what happened.
And backstory, he got suspended because he was at the same party where Evan Bourne was smoking marijuana.
Yes.
The truth will get you high. People over there get high. Stand up, sniff the shit, and say what's up. Get high.
Wow.
So, yeah. Hey, I can rap. So, yeah, that's the end of the Awesome Truth, and that's also the end of Raw. Raw was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't poor.
I think it was a really good fallout from Survivor Series. I don't think it was. I mean, you know, I think it was good, especially getting R-Truth away from Miz to serve that suspension. So, I mean, for what it's worth, I think it was really good. But it was better than expected, I'll say. I won't say it was very good, but it was better than expected. So, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching Raw on the TV. In front of me on the laptop, I was actually in Shane Martinez's Fun Time Chat, which is always fun. So, that was Raw. I think now looking at the time, it might be time to...
No, we still got a little bit of time left, but what I just want to talk about, you know, one thing I was wanting to mention last week that we didn't get to because of the interview with Rima last week. I just want to say Kamala ended up ending his career because of a leg amputation, and I saw that and I was shocked. Because, and I'll tell you why. Because Kamala, for a guy his age, for you know, pulling out all the times he's been in the WWE, in WCW, in God forbid JCW, in the Indies and all that, Kamala knew how to work. As much as a semi jobber, semi arch nemesis, semi, you know, bad guy, perfect bad guy for the mid card. I think and I feel bad because the guy has been in the business for what, 25, 30 years? And he went out fighting. All right. I give him respect because the guy worked. The guy knew what was important at the end of the day and didn't stay at WWE. He was in TNA for one shot. He, you know, the guy went where the money went. And you got to respect him for doing what he thought was right in wrestling. And for that, I want to say, Kamala, I forgot your real name, but you have a lot more respect than you think in the business. And if we see you later down the road on kayfabe commentaries or our video or something, hey, I bet you got stories to tell. So,
from his video, he did look kind of perky considering what happened. So,
yeah, he was, and that's another thing. Through all the bad times in wrestling, and we've seen it on The Wrestler, we've seen it on the Scott Hall story on E60, you know, we saw that Kamala kept his head up from day one to now, to his retirement. He kept his head up, and he just released a video that was posted on TMZ and on YouTube and all that. He's still perky. He's still positive. He's still thankful to have his life. And at the end of the day, that's all we got. That's all a wrestler's got. And I respect him for it, and I'm glad that he was able to come out and say, hey, you know what? I got to end it. And it sucks, but hey, this thing happens. So I just want to put myself out there and say, Kamala, you got my respect 100%. Especially for getting out when you did.
Yeah. I mean,
because, hey,
I agree.
Sometimes you don't have a choice. So
yeah.
Anyway, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're gonna have a very special guest. We're gonna have one Lance White right here on Running the Ropes, the official podcast of the Unchained Wrestling Network.
It's me, it's the D-O-double-G, the Road Dog, Jesse James, and you're listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it!
Does listening to wrestling news live make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestling fan? Would the Trey Dog drink Velvet Sky's bathwater?
Well, hello there, Velvet. That is some good bathwater, baby.
Ow! Listening to Wrestling News Live does make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestler. I have voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand.
They talk to me. Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and WrestleTalk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling,
www.audiowrestling.com,
and check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling,
keeping you tuned in
since 1996.
Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Have you checked out the new Unplugged on Friday nights? Well, if you haven't, make sure you check out the new Unplugged Friday nights with JJ Sexay at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, where JJ covers SmackDown, video games, and whatever the hell else he feels like. See you in chat.
This is Shelly Martinez, and you're listening to Running the Ropes on Unchained Wrestling Network.
Back to Running the Ropes exclusively on the Unchained Wrestling Network. Brian Maverick Bertrand back with you once again with Chris Kelly. And on the phone lines, we want to welcome former TNA and WWE superstar Lance Hoyt. Lance, what's going on? Or, sorry, Lance Archer now.
What's up going on, guys? You guys doing all right today?
Getting there. So, we just heard you won a title in Japan. What was that about?
It wasn't actually a title. They put on a tournament, a tag tournament every year. It's called the G1 Tag League. And myself and my partner, Minoru Suzuki, part of Suzuki Goon, we won the G1 Tag League tournament. So there was a bunch of people involved, a bunch of legends in New Japan and professional wrestling in Japan especially. that were involved in it, and Minoru Suzuki himself is actually pretty over cat there in Japan, and between himself and me, there was no stopping it, and we had one little bump at the very beginning of the tournament, and then it was smooth sailing from there on out.
Oh, nice. So before you were in TNA, before you went to Japan, you started out big time with TNA Wrestling, and I remember you were tagging with Kid Cash at the time. Considering Kid Cash and how long he's been in the business, was he able to give you any pointers as far as going through the gauntlet that is pro wrestling?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Cash took me under his wing, helped me out a lot. That was a very early time in my career. I think I'd been in the business about four and a half years at the time that I joined TNA and was partnered up with Kid Cash. And very quickly, he and I won the NWA TNA World Tag Team titles because TNA was a part of the NWA at the time. And he helped me develop into what I was going to become. And, you know, it was unfortunate when he departed TNA and whatnot. I mean, I had a fairly decent singles run while I was there after he left, but we had a really good tag team. You know, it was something that was, it helped me learn the business in ways that I don't know if I could have if I'd have just been by myself when I initially started with them. So teaming with him when I first started in TNA, I think was a really, really good thing for myself, for the company, and for all of professional wrestling, because you had Kid Cash, who is Mr. Total Nonstop Attitude, and myself, who could, you know, put a hole in a wall with my boot.
Yes.
There weren't a lot of people that could stop that, and it was a good combination.
I thought it was a great tag team, too, and what I loved about it was that you went pretty much toe-to-toe with absolutely everybody up to the point where you guys did separate, of course, with Kid Cash leaving. But when you did break out into the solo career, of course, you had experience going with professional championship wrestling back in Texas. But since you were in front of in the bright lights and the cameras of TNA, I shouldn't say as bright, really. Was that a strange transition for you?
No, it wasn't. You know, I mean, the independents, there aren't a whole lot of tag teams. There are tag teams out there in independents, but most of the time there's a lot of individual effort. Like you mentioned, PCW, Professional Championship Wrestling, which was a great organization back when I was getting started in the business, gave me a place to work on a weekly basis and learn how to be a wrestler, because there's no better time, no better place than, for a worker is to be out in that ring in front of a crowd. It doesn't matter if there's...
Hello?
Five people, when you're learning and you're working, that's when you're gaining your ground. And most of the time in my independent days prior to working at TNA with Kid Cash, I had been a singles worker, a singles wrestler. So the transition wasn't hard. It was just, it was just a different period. Like I said, it was a very abrupt thing that happened, you know, because Kid Cash left very quickly and very abruptly from TNA. So at the time, you know, it was like, oh, by the way, you're just going to be by yourself. It was like, okay, so what do we do? And, you know, the fans seemed to latch on with the whole Hoodie Mania phase and craze, and, you know, I had a good time, and it was enjoyable. So it wasn't very difficult. It was just very quick.
Now, speaking of Hoodie Mania, what was up with that? Was that something that I want to say who it was, but I forget. Was that something that the writers came up with, something that they wanted to try and put over for Hulkamania back in 2005?
Nope, absolutely not. That was something that was kind of cool, it was kind of fun, it was kind of crazy. The fans just, you know, thank goodness, you know, and even though some people tried to say it was because I took a bunch of people out to eat, and I was like, well, I don't have that much money to take that many people out to eat, to have that many people, you know, screaming hoit, 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 and making T-shirts and signs and all that stuff. So the fan base is really what created it. The writers didn't create it. I didn't create it. It was just something that they latched onto, and, you know, it kind of took off a little bit in a little way. You know, I wish it would have actually been more capitalized on while I was at TNA and while the whole craze was going on. But, you know, it is what it is. It was what it was. The business runs in the circuits that it runs, and, you know, it was a fun time while it lasted, and, you know, it was cool getting to see the fans kind of take it and make it their own, you know?
Yeah, definitely. How was it working with AJ Pierzynski later down the road?
Ha! oh, AJ Brzezinski, he and I are still pretty cool. You know, I talk to him once in a while, see him once in a while during the baseball season. I try to catch a game, especially if they come into Texas. You know, let him go to the game. Yeah, man, he loves the business. He has a lot of fun. He's a lot of personality behind that plate. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. The only hard and difficult part about it was, you know, because he was a Major League Baseball player, because he was a big-time Major League Baseball player, there was a lot of stipulations that could and couldn't happen with him, you know, and I understand because it was in protection of him and the club and the Major League Baseball together. But, you know, he still had a lot of fun, and he got to do whatever he wanted, and I think that's all he really cared about. So it was cool. It was good times.
Right. And going into WWE, or actually, no, rather, the Rock and Raven faction with Christy Hemme was, I think, was by far one of your best gimmicks and best time in TNA. And especially someone like Jimmy Rave coming in from, I believe it was, Ring of Honor.
Yep.
What was that like for you tagging with him, especially because it brought, because I think it brought back the style of Kid Cash, but just in a new package, you know what I mean? Like a separate value meal at McDonald's. Like it's something new, but something that tastes different, like the same, but looks different. Like, how was it tagging with him going through that whole run?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, Jimmy's one of the smoothest guys I've ever seen in the ring. And initially, you know, they put us together and there wasn't a whole lot of direction. You know, it was Jimmy Rave, Lance Hoyt. You know, Christy Hemme and I had kind of been around each other for a little bit. We did the whole Voodookin Mafia thing. I turned on them, took her, and, you know, got to make out like a porn star with her, and that was a lot of fun.
Nice.
And then, you know, Jimmy and I got put together as a team, and then we coined the phrase Rock and Rave Infection. And then, you know, we all showed up to work one day, and they were like, hey, guess what? And we're like, what? And they're like, you guys think you're rock stars. And we're like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, and it's because you play Guitar Hero. And we went, oh, crap. But at the same
it's like they caught you.
Yeah, but at the same time, it was a lot of fun because they gave us a lot of freedom. I mean, you know, initially about three shows were taped in the next couple of days. You're on all three of them. You have live mic time. You have backstage time. We have all the things that, you know, I think can be necessary for anybody to become stars in the business, because if you're not in front of the people, if you're not in front of the crowd, if you're not on the television set, it doesn't matter. You know, you can be a part of a company, but if they don't see you, it doesn't matter. And we were given an opportunity, especially early on, to have that time and to have some fun with it, you know. And we're like, hey, can we do what we want to do with this and try to make it our own? They're like, yeah, do whatever you want. You know, I kind of created the Slash-esque type character, and, you know, Christy was just rock star hot, and, you know, Jimmy kind of took on the 80s glam rock look, and, you know, we had a lot of fun with it. And, you know, another situation, just in my opinion, if I think if it were really been capitalized upon, it could have been something that was really big in the company. I think we were kind of a comedy act, but the one thing that we had was Jimmy had an ability that was as smooth as anybody in the business. I can work. I can do my thing. I can kick some ass. And, you know, there's not really a lot of people that can question that. And I think the combination of the three of us worked. It was just some people saw it more as a comedy act, and unfortunately it didn't get to go as far as I think it could have gone.
Right. Now, I thought it was funny that you guys kept coming out with the sometimes you guys would come out with the different Guitar Hero controllers. I had the mm-hmm. PlayStation 2 one, which is a lot smaller than the later ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw you guys just like playing with it and shredding with it, and just and one thing came to mind, how were you able to how should I say this? How were you able to get through Christy Hemme's singing intro in the ring? Because I couldn't do it, to be honest.
That was part of the show, man. It was a lot of fun. You know, Jimmy never knew what town we were in. I always wanted, you know, a ham sandwich and a bottle of whiskey, and she sang really badly. And the funny part is she can actually sing really good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember hearing her sing, like,
on album
years ago.
Empowered. And, you know, so it was just a lot of fun. Like I said, we made it our own. We had a lot of fun with it. And I think if it had really, really, really been capitalized upon, the wrestling world could have had a lot of fun with it, too.
Definitely. And your final match in TNA and with as the Rock and Raven Infection was against Beer Money in the Off the Wagon Challenge. What are your thoughts on Beer Money when they were still together, I guess?
You know, I mean, when we worked with them, they were really coming up. They were tag champs at the time. You know, two guys that had both had seen success in other tag teams and as individuals, had definitely been kind of put together and really took off and made it work for themselves. And, you know, unfortunately for Jimmy and I, it was a situation where either we won and we became champions or we lost and we were done. And, you know, we lost and we were done. And, you know, it's just kind of how the cookie crumbles. That's how the business works, and it was what it was. You know, it was an honor getting to work with those guys here.
Just one of those back and forth type views.
They're doing Phoenix television today, so it's not like, you know, it's not like we lost to a couple guys that did nothing or went anywhere. They're both now, you know, one's a former champion and one's the current champion right now. So, you know, I mean, it's two good guys working very hard, and, you know, it was a lot of fun, even though it was my last match there.
What are your thoughts on Florida Championship Wrestling and the structure down there?
Well, you know, I mean, when I signed on with WWE, it was kind of a request. You know, they wanted me to go and be a part of FCW, and I had no problem with that, strictly for the fact that, you know, I'd known some of the people that had come from TNA into WWE and hadn't really worked out, and I knew what WWE was wanting to do, and they wanted me to kind of get acclimated to what they wanted from their superstars, and FCW at the time, for me, was a great place to do that instead of trying to jump in cold and possibly not performing the way that, you know, WWE really wants their talent to perform. It gave me an opportunity to kind of get to know the system, to get to know people, like, you know, how that was presented. And, you know, the people in FCW, Steve Kern, who owns FCW, Dr. John Pritchard, Norman Smiley, Dusty Rhodes, all the people that were there when I was there were invaluable, man. They helped me out in every different way, and, you know, a lot of different opinions, but also a lot of different ideas, and you could pick and choose and take little parts from this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy and help kind of create yourself. So for me, FCW was a great place to go and be a part of.
Did you mind going into ECW, or when you came on, did you prefer to be on Raw or SmackDown?
Oh, heck no, man. ECW, I mean, you know, for what it was, and depending on, you know, a lot of people have their own opinions about ECW or the WWE CW, as they like to call it, you know.
Right.
It was a great place for new and young talent to get to be known by the WWE universe. I mean, look at some of the guys today, your Evan Bournes, your Sheamuses, your CM Punks, all these guys that started on the WWE ECW program who are now top stars on their television shows.
And
now, you know, some of CM Punk, I think, has to be noticed as one of the biggest and brightest superstars right now, and he started on their ECW program.
Definitely. One thing I didn't like about ECW was the fact that, and I've said it before, it could have been, I think it could have been done better than what it was. I mean, I've said it on this show years ago to say they could have downgraded the equipment used, but still put on the best show they had. Of course, they didn't have guys like Raven and all that. But you still had like you said, it was a great place for young talent to come up. It's been great talent and underused talent at the same time, because at the time they didn't use Kane as much. They didn't use Ezekiel Jackson so much, so they brought them into ECW. And bringing you in there...
Well, I mean,
go ahead.
If you think about the history, the original history of ECW, there were a lot of guys in the original ECW, and Raven's one of those guys you mentioned, weren't wanted or needed by some of the bigger companies in the business, and they found their place. Their company became ECW. So, you know, there's a lot of people that, like I said, put a little negative connotation on the ECW that WWE created, but it was just a newer version of what it originally was. Now, everybody has that fond memory of what ECW was and the people and the talent that were a part of it, but it was a place for those who weren't considered to be the big time or weren't considered to be a part of the big companies, WWE and WCW at the time. It was a place for them to be, and it was a place that they grew and flourished in and became those superstars that you now mentioned today. And I think the ECW or the WWE ECW product was the same thing. It was just a newer version and under their umbrella.
It was just in high definition, pretty much.
Exactly. Which I guarantee you, if the old school ECW had had the option and opportunity to be in high definition, they absolutely would have. It wasn't the fact that they couldn't or didn't have it. It's just, you know, it wasn't there for them.
And speaking of ECW, we got to mention the original ECW member, Tommy Dreamer. You had a bit of a run-in with him a few times on Sci-Fi and on Superstars. What was it like working with such a hardcore pioneer such as Tommy Dreamer?
It was awesome. It was amazing. You know, I mean, inside and outside the ring, what Tommy helped me with and taught me between our fights that we had in the ring and our conversations we had outside the ring, he taught me a lot of things that I hadn't even looked at in the business yet. And so to be able to work with him was, especially before he left, was a really awesome, amazing thing for myself and my career, I think.
And what are your thoughts, and also, what are your thoughts on the feud with Shelton and the apparent lack of direction or any bit of a finish to the feud?
Well, I mean, we did have a finish to the feud, the second to last show on ECW as it existed. But at the same time, you know, it was ECW was cut short. You know, they came up with NXT and decided to launch it fairly quickly, and so ECW came to an abrupt end, and therefore so did a lot of the feuds and fights that were happening in and on ECW.
Right, and then that's when you went into SmackDown, and another tag team partner you came in there with was Curt Hawkins. What are your thoughts on Curt Hawkins as your partner? Because he was another great guy that never got used as much.
Yeah, you know, without sounding like I'm complaining or bitching or whining or anything like that, I think that happens way too often to a lot of good people in the business. You know, they say it's very difficult to make it as a professional football player, a professional baseball player, or professional basketball player, or any other major league sport that exists. It's even harder, 10 times harder, I think, to make it in the big times in professional wrestling, simply for the fact that there are so few opportunities and spots for those guys and those people. And Kurt and I think the tag team, you know, initially was very strong with us. That was very good. You know, there's a little bit of direction, not a whole lot. And, you know, unfortunately for us, you know, the company had to focus on different things, bigger things, other things that were going on, and we kind of got left on the side shelf. And then by the time they kind of got back around to us, they're like, oh, we haven't done anything. What should we do? Maybe we should split them, blah, blah, blah. And it kind of went where it went. And unfortunately, you know, I'm not with the company anymore, and unfortunately, you know, even for Kurt, who's still with the company, you know, he's kind of shown up here and there and done a little bit this and that, but, you know, they still haven't used him to his full ability, I don't believe. So, you know, he's a great tag team partner, and again, another tag team I was a part of that I think if really given that opportunity, really given that push, would have been one of the best in the business.
Well, I think that your best time outside of Rockin' Rave Infection and with Kid Cash, I think in WWE, and I didn't recognize it was actually you as Vance Archer in the Gatecrashers, and you guys did. I loved how you guys would just come in the ring and literally kick ass and walk out, because even though it probably wasn't part of the match at the time, it was just really good to watch you guys go in, do your thing, and say, yeah, we did it. What's going to happen? And right. It was a way to, I think it was a great way to introduce you guys, to put you guys in a ring, and to finally put you on the big stage at WrestleMania 26. Oh, actually, that was before that. But, I mean, the catalyst was at WrestleMania 26 when you participated in a battle royal that Yoshitatsu won that night.
That was actually before Kurt and I were ever even together.
Right. Now I thought it was a good catalyst because I didn't see any info between that and when you guys first tagged. But
there wasn't a whole lot going on. You know, I was there. I was out, and, you know, part of the shows and this and that. But there wasn't a whole lot happening with me. Which it happens a lot. You know, that was kind of when Kurt and I kind of were put together and started on that road.
Right. Going back, when of course, when you did, since you had taste of tag team in WWE and TNA both. What are your thoughts on the differences between both companies in their tag team divisions?
You know, that's a tough question to answer, man. I think, you know, at different times, especially in recent history, TNA has had some very, very strong tag teams and a very strong tag team division. You know, Beer Money when they were going strong, the Machine Guns when they were going strong, you know, when I was there, when LAX was a part of the company and going strong. I mean, you just had, you know, and 3D was still together at the time, you know, there was a lot of good and big, strong tag teams that were in and around TNA at the time. WWE had tag teams, but their focus, I don't think, was as strongly geared towards tag team wrestlers. I think when Kurt and I were tagging, the champions for the most part were the Harts, the Hart Foundation, and, you know, I think even then, as they were champions, they were still only given very few and far between television time, and, you know, and the titles weren't focused on very strongly, and it's just, it was a company choice, I think, rather than anybody's specific fault. So, you know, I think that the difference really was that TNA had a stronger focus on their tag teams at the time. Right now, I don't know if it's as strong right now. I mean, obviously, Machine Guns, because of injuries, this and that, and that, whatnot, have not really been a part of the company as much. Beer Money is obviously separated at this time, so is Team 3D, and, you know, they have Mexican America doing their thing and kind of going strong, but still at the same time, they don't have as strong of a tag team division as they used to have. I think it's something they'll get back to, absolutely, and I think, you know, WWE simply just has to make that choice to focus on tag team wrestling like in the past. They had such big strong teams, biggest superstars in this business, and once they do, you know, it'll be hard to beat because WWE has that machine, they have that ability, and, you know, but right now it's just a choice that they're not making.
Right, and what I love about TNA is that when they put a tag team together, they don't do it like how WWE just throws random people together. They do it to where, like, for example, I think it was Chris Sabin and Sanjay Dutt for a while, and then you and Kid Cash, and then you and Jimmy Rave, because it was a great contrast and harmonizing of styles in the ring to really bring out both wrestlers instead of just throwing two names at a dartboard or something like that. If you wanted to be in a tag team to harmonize your style with any legend, who would you want to have tagged with?
You know, that's a tough question in itself as well. I mean, you know, I got in this business because I started being a fan of one person in particular, and that was Sting. So for me, I think my dream opponent or dream tag team partner would be Sting, just because of what he meant to me and my desire to become a part of this business. And, you know, I think he's what he is. He's the excitement. He is the legend. He's the icon that he is. And I think I'm that young gun that if you put us together, I think it would be a definitely good tag team for the business to watch and enjoy.
Now, that brings up another question. Would it be Surfer Sting, Crow Sting, or Joker Sting?
See, I'm a Crow Sting fan. You know, that was kind of the reason I kind of got into watching him in the business was, you know, I was a big fan of that movie, and when he kind of took on that persona, I think that's kind of where I was at and what I enjoyed. So that would be the Sting I would like to be tagged with. Although I have to give him a lot of credit, considering who he is and what he's done in the business and his ability to adapt and change and do things for the better for him and business. The fact that he's taking on the Joker-esque type persona and he's flourishing with it, I think it's amazing that he's doing it. Because, you know, the worst thing that happens to most guys in the business is that they grow stale because they only do one thing and they never change themselves, and the business changes. The people who are watching change, so you have to change. You have to adapt with it. And I think there was a time when the Crow was a big thing and people knew that, but I think it had passed, and I think he'd recognized that. And so for him to change, I think, was ingenious for him.
Did you laugh as much as I did when he started doing the gay voice out of nowhere, especially knowing his history?
No, I'd never even noticed that he'd done that, so I hadn't heard that one.
Oh yeah, he did. It was funny because he did an in-ring promo with him, Hogan, and I think Flair, and he just did the gay voice, like a gay voice about flowers and all that, and I just busted up laughing. Oh, it's so good.
I never remembered that one, man. I'm sorry.
No problem. But now we come to like the current stuff. What's it like going from?
I'm sorry, say that again.
I was gonna say coming to the current career path now, going from TNA or from PCW to TNA to WWE, and now going all the way into Japan, where the training regimen itself is just so much different from what everyone does out here. What was it like going from the transition from American wrestling to the Puro style of Japan?
You know, I'd been to Japan a few times prior to what I'm doing now with New Japan.
Right.
When I was with TNA, you know, we could work outside the company as long as it didn't interfere with their bookings, and I'd gone to Japan a few times. So I kind of had a taste of what they did and their style and the things that they, you know, kind of and how they performed for their fans. And, you know, it's when you hear people say strong style, it truly is a style in itself. It truly is a hardcore, you know, fight as hard as you can, as long as you can. And when something happens, it truly means something. And the fan base that are watching these shows, these matches, these fights, it's a different style of fan. And so you have to learn to work with them and work for them and let them enjoy what they enjoy, because the same things or the things that we do in the States are not exactly the same things that the fans in Japan are interested in, you know, and they pay very close attention to what's going on in the ring. So, you know, if you watch a match on YouTube or wherever of Japanese wrestling, a lot of times you think, oh man, they're really quiet. They must not enjoy what's happening in the ring. And that's quite the contrary, because actually they enjoy every little aspect. And what they're doing is they're just paying close attention. And when you can get those people rocking, when you can get those people really on the edge of their seat and enjoying what's happening in the ring and the fights that are happening, you're really doing something good. You know, there's a lot of American fans that, you know, I'm not knocking them, but sometimes I don't think they appreciate what the guys are putting themselves through each and every time that they step out in the ring. And sometimes American fans are just making noise to make noise.
Right.
And, you know, I think if they sit back and enjoy the business and enjoy the wrestling and, you know, enjoy what's happening in front of them and understand, you know, all the time, hard work and dedication it takes to put that show on, you know, I think everybody, the fans, the wrestlers, the companies, the business all together would enjoy itself much more and would actually start to flourish more. I think right now you have a lot of people who are very cynical and who are very skeptical, and they're very stuck on, you know, this was my favorite in the past, and they're not looking to the talent of the now and the future. And, you know, I mean, I think it's on the responsibility of the fans to kind of accept what's going on and find those new wrestlers, those new superstars, and go with them and whatnot. And so working in Japan is just an amazing, cool thing. You know, it's such a different style, and I enjoy every aspect of it, and I'm doing, I think, pretty well right now, you know, winning the G1 Tag League tournament with my partner. And I think right now, as everything points to it, I think New Japan's got a lot of things planned for me in the future.
So, and that comes to another point. What is the future like for Lance Archer now? Or is there a possible way to come back into the fold in America, or are you currently set on staying with Japan for a bit?
You know, I am actually enjoying myself very much. The American Psycho Lance Archer is a new character, a new niche, a new adaptation to who I was and everything that I've learned in the business to this point. You know, New Japan has done very good for me, and they've treated me very well, and I have every intention of continuing my relationship with them as far as returning to the States and whatnot. I mean, who knows? This business, you never say never. You know, there's a lot of people that have burned bridges or that have been ousted one way or another. I mean, who would have thought Bret Hart would have been back in the WWE? I don't think anybody did, especially after the way he left back in the day, and yet he's back. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's done everything he's done with them in the recent, you know, couple years. So you never say never, and who knows what's going to happen in the future. But as of right now, my relationship with New Japan is very strong, and I plan on keeping it that way. And, you know, as long as they're continuing to use me in a good way and it's fun and I'm enjoying it and they're enjoying what I'm doing, you know, I mean, I have no intention of just abandoning what they've done for me. So, you know, I plan on keeping strong in the strong style that is New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Now, if you had to choose – which gimmick of yours would you have loved to keep going? Shadow, Lance Archer, Lance Rock, or sorry, Lance Hoyt, Lance Rock, or Vance Archer?
You know what the funny part is, when you ask that question, and it, I think, you know, each and every persona that I've had the opportunity to take on, and it's kind of funny because, you know, some guys get to be one name or one character their whole career, and I've changed my name from, like you said, Shadow to Lance Hoyt, or excuse me, Shadow Dallas, Lance Hoyt, Lance Rock, Vance Archer, now Lance Archer, and there's a couple other names I used on the independent circuits in different places. It's a crazy thing to say, oh, I've got this many gimmicks, and some people might say, oh, well, then you haven't done too well. No, I just think it's a different adaptation. I mean, Lance Rock was so different from Shadow, and Shadow so different from Lance Hoyt, and Lance Hoyt so different from Lance Archer. There's just different aspects, and I think if I can continue to find the niche of each and every one of those, you know, Lance Archer, I think, is a very strong character right now, and I think the difference is if I was allowed to take the Lance Archer character, the American Psycho that I am in Japan, and bring it into the States, and they allowed me to be what I'm being in there, I think that it would be very strong here in the States. But there are aspects of it, you know, especially with WWE's PG style, that I would have to tone down a lot of things, and I don't know how that would affect the Lance Archer, the American Psycho character. So I would enjoy being all of them in different ways.
I think TNA would definitely benefit from having American Psycho Lance Archer back in the fold. I really do.
I think they would benefit absolutely from that as well.
Especially now that they changed writers finally with Tom Pritchard, or I forget, Tom Pritchard, Bruce Pritchard. I forget.
Bruce. Tom's at FCW.
Oh, right, Bruce. Okay, yeah. I think with Bruce Pritchard as head writer now, could definitely... See, I, in my opinion, I think you could see something to put you into the fold to really work it out. So,
I think it would benefit him. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Finally, what was it like to have you to see yourself in video game form on SmackDown versus Raw 11?
It's probably one of the cooler things in the business that I've had the privilege of being a part of. You know, there's a lot of guys who don't even get the opportunity to get to do any of the things that I've done. You know, some people ask me, do you regret this? Do you regret that? And I'm like, no, I've got to walk out, and I got to lace up my boots and walk out in front of the WrestleMania crowd. I have an action figure sitting in my Kuro cabinet right now in front of me. I have a video game that I can pop into my gaming network and play right now if I want to. And, you know, these are a lot of things that I don't think a lot of people get to experience. And the fact that I've had that opportunity, that option, it's been too cool. It's kind of cool to see, you know, especially where video games are today. And
yeah,
kind of scary to think what they'll be in the future as far as the realism of each of the characters and the things that they do and the way that they move and things like that. So it was super, super cool.
Are you gonna get WWE 12 and just sit there and make yourself? And just go online with it?
No.
No.
And that's not even a knock on them or in their game or anything. That's just because I'm not enough of a gamer to know what the heck I'm doing. So, you know, if somebody created me for me, that would be a different story. But me doing it for myself, nah. You know, after being actually put into the game to go and make myself in the game, I think would be kind of, you know, kicking myself in the face.
Looks like we have something for the Coscast next week.
Right.
Definitely. Well, anyway, hey, do you have anything to promote for now or anything? Facebook,
sure,
or anything?
Yeah, man. You know, people can check me out at Lance Hoyt on Facebook. You can follow me at Lance Hoyt on Twitter. You know, I have a show this weekend in Ardmore, Oklahoma for UWF on Sunday. I'll be defending my NWA Texas title in January. I go back to Japan for a pay-per-view in Nagoya, Japan on December 4th, so check out that stuff. And if you guys want to check out any of my matches from New Japan Pro Wrestling, just type in Lance Archer, New Japan Pro Wrestling on YouTube, and watch and enjoy.
Real quick, can we get a liner from you real fast?
Yep.
Okay, you can say whatever you want. Just make sure it's Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
Yeah, you can start whenever you get ready.
Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network. All right, ready?
Yeah.
This is Lance Archer, the American Psycho from New Japan Pro Wrestling, and you're listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
Awesome. That was Lance Hoyt. Again, you can hit him up on Facebook. What was it, Facebook and Twitter again?
They're both under my real name, Lance Hoyt.
Lance Hoyt. Awesome. Thank you, Lance. We'll hopefully see you later down the road.
All right. Thank you much, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. All righty. That was Lance Hoyt right here on Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network. God, it just feels like yesterday when I started the show and I didn't have nothing in it, and we just evolved on. And ever since we got on Unchained, it's like we've had, what, 6 interviews already? More than that?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It sounds about right. I love it. And I have, like, plenty of liners now, but I don't plan on just stopping. I just don't. It feels good. God damn it, just feels so good. Mind. But, yeah, I mean, hey, it was good to have him on, and I can't wait to have him on again later. Hey, if you ever come back, let us know. But, I'm glad that Lance Hoyt is just loving Japan right now, because now he has a following there, and now he has, like, something that WWE wasn't able to give him, and that was longevity. And I think now that he's in New Japan, he's doing really good. And that's what I love about, you know, the whole educational side of this thing, is to share the knowledge, to share what's going on in people's careers, and, you know, just to really pass on, hey, forget about this guy. Where are they now? You know? So, I don't know. What did you think about the interview?
You know, it was great. I spoke to Vance before, but to sit back and just listen to it, him talk about TNA, WWE, Japan, great story. I'm sure the fans love it as well. And that guy could have been a big star in WWE, but with them killing ECW, they kind of killed him. But I did like his gatecrasher gimmick. But
yeah, like I said in the interview, the gatecrasher's gimmick was by far his best gimmick out of Dallas, out of Shadow, and all that. And just to know that it's just different sides to him, and it really does work, and I think it was great. So, yeah.
I agree.
So, anyways, that's gonna do it for us. Next week, what was going on next week?
Next week, you will be interviewing Shad Gaspar.
I will be interviewing Shad Gaspar.
Yes, because I just got a text and I've been called into work on next week. So,
all right, no problem. I'll gather my materials. Hopefully, Randy and or Mike will be back on. Of course, Mike is having some problems due to his laptop being stolen and all that, but we will work on getting them back on very, very soon. So, on behalf of Chris Kelly, my name is Brian Maverick Bertrand. We'll see you guys next week here on Running the Ropes, the official podcast of the Unchained Wrestling Network. See you later, everybody.
Peace.
This has been a presentation of Running the Ropes, exclusively on the Unchained Wrestling Network at unchained-wwe.com. The views expressed in this podcast are those of the panel and not of the network or its affiliates.